Yes, it's good to have Mrs. Thompson here, amen. The Thompson's been a blessing, and Brother Hank Thompson was a blessing. And I remember they visited us up in New York. Not all of them were with, but I remember Tisa, Josh, and Ben came, and we were building our house. So Josh and Ben and me and my brothers, we, you know, worked on the house every day, but we had it somehow. We had just decided that week was going to be torture Christy and Tisa week. Amen. We just thought they're both older than us. I mean, Christy was our oldest daughter. Tisa wasn't the oldest, but she was older than Josh and Ben. So this was sort of like revenge on the older sister week. Amen. And we didn't have to. We both sides were very willing partners. Amen. So one night they slept in the finished basement with the drop ceiling. So we got an alarm clock and set it for 2:30. In the morning, set it up in the drop ceiling, closed the drop ceiling, and went to bed. And we thought that was great, except that nobody could find the alarm clock, so we got woke up to have to go shut the alarm clock off. So it took a little bit of luster off of that problem. And then we'd working on the building. We were putting the sheeting on the floor, and we were hammering. You know, Dad was too cheap to buy us nail guns, so we were hammering, you know. And so Ben Thompson and my brother David were the youngest there, so every time we drop our hammer, they'd have to jump down, run all the way around the back into the basement, get the hammer, run back up. So about the time they'd get back, you know, Josh, he would drop his hammer on purpose, and they'd run back around. So we quickly got on, so poor Ben and David, all they did all day was run back and forth, picking up our hammers. But we had a really good time, amen. Anyways, I appreciate Thompson's, appreciate Brother Hank, and he was a hero of mine, amen. He was, and I'm thankful that's how my wife and I got put together. One fateful, wait, not fateful day, one good day, amen. Not fateful. I just slipped out. I don't know where that came from. Brother Hank called my dad one day and said, he was very gracious. He said, I got a good young lady down here that I think you ought to pray about. And my life has never been the same, amen. That's good. It's been better, sweeter and sweeter every day. At least that's what I say with Mrs. Thompson sitting here, amen. Now, I appreciate God using a man of God, amen. Amen. And it's a blessing to see her again. Acts chapter 28, and start reading here in verse number 1 before I get myself into any more trouble. Acts chapter number 28, verse number 1, the Bible says, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire, and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen, or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds, and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us, and lodged us 3 days courteously. It came to pass that the father Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. It's good to be in church, Lord. It's been a good day. Lord, I sure pray you've been honored and worshiped here today. And now, as we open your word, I confess, Lord, I desperately need you. Pray for your touch and your anointing. Bless these few thoughts that you've laid on my heart. Bless your people. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them. And, Lord, we give you the glory and honor for what you're going to do. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach for a little bit here about these barbarous people that we find in Acts chapter number 28. You know, you wouldn't think you could learn a lot from barbarians or in the Bible, but I believe there's some lessons we can learn here. I looked up the word barbarous. It means uncivilized, savage, unlettered, untutored, ignorant, or destitute of knowledge. Now, none of us would like to be included in that class of people, amen? We don't want to say that we're uncivilized or savage or unlettered or untutored or destitute of knowledge. We'd like to think that we're more cultured than that we're more advanced than that we're somewhat educated, that we have some knowledge, that we've become civilized. Although if you walk around America very much, we're going back to being uncivilized. But anyways, that's a whole nother story. But I believe that as we look at some things, I just want to look at some simple thoughts here about these barbarous people and how in some ways they might even they had some things that I believe some Christians are even lacking today. The first thing I see is in verse number 2, the Bible says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." In other words, they showed them a lot of kindness, amen. "For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." The first thing I see just simply is that they were people of hospitality. They were people of hospitality. It says they showed us no little kindness. In other words, they showed them much kindness. They went out of the way to receive them because of the predicament. You know the story. I didn't go, but in Acts chapter 27, Paul begins a journey to Rome. He's a prisoner. He's on a ship. There's they think 180-some people or 170-some people on that ship. And I actually preached at teen night Friday night in verse 9 of chapter 27. Paul said, listen, guys, we should not sail. We should just wait here. If we go on this journey, there's going to be much danger. There's going to be a lot of trouble. And yet the master of the ship, the Bible says, the place to winter in was not convenient. So because of a lack of convenience and the majority of people said, oh, it's fine. He went with the majority and they set sail. And the Bible says the south wind blew softly, so they thought, they supposed, because the wind was just right, they were going to make a long story short. They ran into all kinds of problems. The Bible says they didn't eat for 14 days. Many days they didn't see the sun, the moon, the stars. It was a bad storm. They thought they were going to die. And in the middle of this, Paul says, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. You should have listened. I mean, you should have done what I told you to do. And that's a whole nother message. But anyways, they end up shipwrecked. They find this island. They find a little channel of water. And they come in. And the front part of the ship sticks fast in the ground. The back part breaks in half. And some swim to land. Some who can't swim, they grab pieces of wood and parts of the ship. And they all get to this island. And this is where we pick up in verse number 28. And the Bible says the people that met them there were barbarous people. They were barbarians. Listen, when you're shipwrecked, I mean, they've had a rough time at sea. 14 days, they haven't eaten, haven't seen the moon, the stars. They've been in the storm. They had unloaded everything out of the ship. They were sure they were going to die. And almost beyond hope, they make it to land. And guess who meets them there? Barbarous people. But the Bible says they didn't show them little kindness. In other words, they showed them a lot of kindness. They had hospitality. Romans chapter 12 says we're to be given to hospitality. 1 Peter 4 says use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, without murmuring while you're doing it. Not doing it against your will, but willingly. In Titus chapter 1, one of the requirements for a bishop that he's to be a lover of hospitality. And I think the Lord probably wouldn't mind if we all were lovers of hospitality. You know what these folks did in their hospitality? They made the present condition of Paul and that shipwreck a group of people. They made their present condition better. Go to James chapter number 2. James chapter number 2. They made their present condition better. You know, when you are full of hospitality, you know what you do? You make people's present condition better after you meet them and after you minister to them than before. James chapter number 2. In verse number 15, the Bible says this, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" That's a good question. I know this chapter is talking about a faith without works. It's dead, verse 17 says. But listen, when you meet somebody and they have a real need, I mean, being naked and not having daily food, I'd say that's being in need. But yet when you meet him and he says, you say, hey, be warmed and filled, but you don't do anything, you've not been a blessing. You've not helped them. Why? Because you did not help their present condition. But these barbarous people, they made their present condition better. As they were, they helped them. Do you understand what this group of people were? I forget I believe there was 180 some of them. And here's this group, they've been shipwrecked. They've been in a storm. They swam through the water. You understand, they've gone a couple weeks. These men, they've not shaven. They've not taken a bath. They've eaten one meal in 14 days. They're a rough-looking group. They're haggard-looking. They're tired. They're rough. They're unshaven. Their clothes are dirty. Some of them are torn. And I mean, they are a motley-looking crew, and yet the barbarous people, just as they were in their present condition, they did all that they could to make them comfortable and help them in their present condition. They did not even know them, yet they helped them. They didn't look real good, yet they helped them. They made them comfortable. You know what they had on them? They had compassion on these people in the condition that they were in. 1 John chapter 3, 16 and 17 talks, if you see a brother in need and you don't help him, that it says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Listen, one of the marks of being a Christian is our compassion and our hospitality one to another. There was seemingly no benefit, nothing to be reaped from by these barbarians by helping this crew. I mean, they had nothing. They literally made it to land with whatever rags they had on their body. There was no money to be rewarded. There was seemingly no profit in it for them. They weren't doing it for what they were going to get. They were not doing it to look good, because most uncivilized savage people don't care how they look. Just they had some hospitality and they helped this group. They saw a need, and they did all they could to meet the need that they saw at that time. Not only that, they did it in adverse conditions. The Bible says there in verse 3, because of the present rain and because of the cold. So when they get on to land there, it is raining and it's cold. You know what would have been easy to do for these barbarous people? I don't know if they lived in tents or caves or what kind of shelters they had. It'd been just a lot easier to stay in their homes, whatever their shelters would have been, stay dry and stay warm and stay comfortable and just take care of themselves. But they didn't do it. They left the shelter. They left comfort. They left ease, and they went into the rain and into the cold, and they helped these people in their present condition. It was adverse conditions. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let me just read you. You don't have to turn there. Let me read you a familiar verse in verse 17. The Bible, or verse 18. He says in verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works. Amen. We're to be rich in good works. And then it says this, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. You know what those barbarous people were? They had no warning. They didn't get a call 3 days ahead that there was a crew coming that was going to need some help. Amen. I believe Mrs. Thompson's here, and the Angus's hopefully are showing her some hospitality. But you know what they had? They had a phone call maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, say, hey, I'm going to be coming through. And they were able to plan and, you know, get the house cleaned up and get the necessary groceries there. And not that their house isn't cleaned up. You know what I mean? When company comes, it's a whole nother level of clean. Amen. My clean and company clean, I mean, they're vastly different. But anyways, you know, they had time to prepare, so they weren't on the spot put out. These people had no time to prepare, Brother Dan. There were these people, 100 and some of them on their island. And right away, immediately, they were put out, if we would. They went out of their way. They were ready to distribute and ready to help these folks. Many times it's hard to get God's people without lots of planning and lots of pushing and lots of begging to get out of their comfort zone, try to be a blessing and a help to somebody. Also, I didn't see, nobody made them do this. They just happened to, they came out, built them a fire, and did all that they could to help them. Many times, to be hospitable or to be a blessing, we're going to be inconvenienced. You know what they did? They suffered the elements just so they could help others. Many times it's not convenient to be a blessing. We don't like, as Americans, we don't like to be inconvenienced. We're just back there making, I'll make a cup of coffee, Miss Angus waiting on me, and I put the thing in and pushed a button, and it seemed like an eternity, but maybe 15 seconds went by and we had no coffee coming out, and we're wondering what's wrong. You know, 15 seconds, we want a cup of coffee. Why? Because we're important. We got things to do. We want convenience, and we want it right away. We don't want to be inconvenienced. They were ready to help. They were willing to help. Look at the attitude. The Bible gives us different attitudes we're supposed to have in hospitality. The Bible says we're to be given to hospitality. In other words, it's almost like you're supposed to be eat up with it, just wholly given to it. I've known people in the church that were given to hospitality. It never seemed like there was a bad time to ask them to be a blessing or to help somebody. They just seemed never to be inconvenienced to go out of the way and do something for somebody else. In fact, many times I've known people and it seems like they did so little for themselves. But when the opportunity came to do something for somebody else, I mean, they were excited. They were glad. They counted themselves privileged to help others. And then I've seen the other side of the fence. Amen. The ones it's all about themselves. We're to be given to hospitality. Many times how people look and the conditions and the elements have a lot to do with what kind, if we're given or not to hospitality. Not only that, Bible talks about being a lover of hospitality. The Bible in Acts 21 talks about receiving people gladly. Acts 28 here in verse 7, it says they lodged them 3 days courteously. They were polite about it. Amen. They made them try to make them feel as at home and as comfortable as they could possibly be. That means courteously is polite, it's condescending, it's graceful. You ever been in somebody's presence, maybe somebody's home or somebody's church or with somebody, and man, you just felt bad that you were there? They made you feel like you just didn't really feel comfortable. You know what I'm talking about? Talk about walking on eggshells. That's not courteously. Amen. Courteously is you condescend. In other words, you lower yourself, and your desire is to elevate and bless that person that you're trying to be a blessing to. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, don't forget to be hospitable. Don't forget. Don't get so busy in life you forget to reach out and help others. It's very easy in life. I'll tell you this. It's very easy in life to get so busy that your eyes only look inward and they stop looking outward. There are people all around us that you know what they need? They need some help. They need somebody just to extend a helping hand. They need somebody to be a blessing to them. It could just be a kind word. It could literally be just 3 minutes of your time. Sometimes it could just be a $20 bill, or it could just be an act that you went and did outside of what's expected. Just it could be something so small that means sometimes so much to somebody. People come into church and you never know what they might be dealing with on the inside. Oh, we all put on a good front on the outside. Oh, we're doing good. We're living for God. We're enjoying the Christian life. And inside, many times we're tore up, we're broken, we're struggling. Sometimes it's all people can do. It's all they can do to get to church because they really consider not going to church. Oh, I know nobody in here. We're way more spiritual than that. But that's what I've heard in other churches. It's all they can do. And what they need is somebody just to encourage them just along a little bit more. We go out there in the world, there's lost people, and they don't look good. You understand? Spiritually looking, they look bad. I mean, they're not dressed right. They don't talk right. They've got piercings and tattoos and all this. And we look at them, and we just can't be inconvenienced. But hey, the barbarous people didn't mind being inconvenienced. They were hospitable. I want you to look in verse number 8. It says, it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick, a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. See what happened there. This man received them and they stayed 3 days. Paul did apparently with this man Publius, and he had a father who was sick, and Paul healed him. And word got out, and the Bible says in the island. So in other words, all through that island, everybody was sick and diseased. You heard they came, and they were healed by the Apostle Paul. The second thing I see, not only were they had hospitality, but they took advantage of the man of God that was in their presence. They took advantage of the man of God that was in their presence. All we know, this might have been the only time a real man of God was ever on this island. We don't know. And they didn't know it at first. Remember when Paul was laying the wood on the fire and that snake bit him. You know what they said? No doubt he's a murderer. And yeah, he escaped the sea, but now he's going to die. And when he didn't die, you know, they were like a lot of Baptists. I know one minute he's a murderer needing to die. The next minute when he doesn't die, they say he's a god. Amen. One minute you're the best thing in the world. Next thing you're the devil's brother. Amen. But anyways, but then Paul heals that one man, and then all the island that's sick comes to be healed by Paul. They took advantage of the man of God in their presence. What did they do? They came to Paul. For them to be healed, they had to go to where Paul was. And I know you say, well, that sounds simple. But by coming, you know what they did? They admitted they had a need. Who came? The sick. The ones who needed healed came to where Paul was. Why? They had a need. Why do we come to church? Well, hopefully it's not just to show off. Hopefully it's not because we have the ministry of helping others. And hopefully, you know, it's okay if we do, but we come. Why? Because we need help. And we need church. And we need fellowship. We need prayer. And we need preaching. I worry about those who never approach the pastor or the men of God or the people of God with a need. Why don't they do that? Because they're too proud to admit they had a need. See, they made it a priority to go to Paul. I don't know what these people in the middle of, but you know what they did? As soon as they heard, they got to Paul. He's only there 3 days. So it had to be of a priority. But they had to go to where Paul was. And let me say this, those that came to where Paul was, their lives were never the same. They were never the same. Men of God that God brings into your life. You know, I can testify. I've heard Dad testify for years. Men of God that he brought into his life and that changed his life. Even in my life, the men of God and the people of God that God's allowed me to cross paths with. And I look back and my life has never been the same. They were healed from their sickness. These people probably never forgot about Paul. You think somebody who laid on that island and was sick for years, I mean, you know, they didn't have hospitals and I'm sure they didn't have doctor's offices and probably had witch doctors or something similar to that and literally had no hope of ever being healed. And one day a man showed up and healed them of their sickness. You don't think they never forgot about that man and told their kids and their grandkids about him? Why? Because of the change that would make. Most of us, if not all of us, would not be where we are without the men and women of God that have helped us and been a blessing to us. One thing that amazes me in the church is you watch people come into church. Some of them, they're lost. They come in and get saved. And some of them, they're saved. But man, they're just not doing well. And they come into church. And you know what I know about people is people, when they come to church, everybody, they've got baggage that they bring in. They've got problems. They've got struggles. They've got troubles. They might be different. Some might have more than others. But they come in. And you know what a good church does? They take those people just as they are. They take them with all their troubles, with all their baggage, with all their problems, with all their failures, with all their past failures, and they bring them in. They love them. They pray for them. They try to preach to them. They try to minister to them. And I'm telling you, if people are interested, God begins to work in their life, and their lives change. But then you see the ones that get offended, or they get, you know, knowledge puffeth up, and they get so much knowledge without having any grace. That they get all and no charity and they get all puffed up and they complain and criticize, but they forgot what they were when they first came and how much God had helped them while they were there. You know what Paul did? Paul was a man of God that was worth getting close to. Paul said this in Romans 1:9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." You know what Paul did? There's people that Paul prayed for all the time. I'd say Paul is a good man to be around. Now that in 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul said this. He says, "I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, that I might present you before God as a chaste virgin." He was jealous over the Christians that he was able to have an influence on and have a part of their life. And what did he want for them? He wanted them to be clean and pure from sin. He wanted them to be faithful to God. And one day, he wanted them to stand before God. And God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what Paul's desire was. Why did he preach and write such hard things sometimes? You read 1 Corinthians, Paul was pretty hard, pretty plain spoken. Why? But listen, he prayed for them, and he wanted them to be found faithful before God. It was for their benefit as much as for Paul. But Paul said, I mean, Demas forsook Paul. Many people forsook Paul. At one point, Paul said, "All men forsook me." But these barbarous people, they took advantage of the man of God that was in their presence. I ask you, church, obviously God's given you a good pastor. Do you take full advantage of the man of God that God's put in your presence? And not only your pastor, but there's other men of God that God brings along. Do you take advantage? Do you take full advantage? Hopefully the barbarous people don't outdo us in this. You know what it was? It was providence that brought Paul to their island. That was no accident. It was providence. Miss Abbott talked today. You know why Miss Abbott's in this church? It's the providence of God that brought her to this church. You know why you are where you are? If you're where you're supposed to be, it's the providence of God. I say that I've said this before, but you look at the Anguses sitting there, born and raised up in New York. God moved a pastor from Pennsylvania up to New York to give them a church. That's the providence. And you know what? God didn't have to sweat about doing that. God didn't have to say, boy, this is going to be a tough one. Let's see if I can pull this one off. One heart at all. That's the providence of God. The providence of God. But Paul could have been on their island. And all that help could have been right there. But if they didn't avail themselves to it, they would have missed out. We don't know if anybody ever went back to this island, another man of God. We don't know. They did not miss out on the blessings of having Paul in their presence. They didn't miss out on the profit that was available to having a man of God. I'm telling you, too often we fail to take advantage of God's man and the men and women of God that He providentially puts in our life. There's people in your life that can help you. They've been down the road. They see things just a little different because they see things through the eyes of experience and through a close walk and relationship with God. Mr. Thompson got up and talked about learning. One of the best ways to learn is from those who have lived life and they've been down the road. You don't see the end, but they've been there. They see the end. You're at the fork in the road and they know where both ways end up. You may not, but they do. But many times we decide we're going to make our own path through life. That's a terrible way to go through life. When God's put people in our life, listen, never have I ever listened to God's man and ever been sorry for it. It's never hurt me. It's never hindered me. It's only helped my life. I'm thankful for men of God in our life. Are you missing out on spiritual blessings and spiritual help that's right there? But all you got to do is come avail yourself. And not only that, but the third thing I see is in verse 10, the Bible says, you also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. They honored them with many honors. They honored them with many honors. Honor means to respect. It means to reverence or to treat with deference, which means a yielding in opinion, a submission of opinion or judgment to another. That word deference means to treat with deference. That means that I yield my opinion or judgment to another person. In other words, if we're in a situation and there's a decision or some planning needs to go, what I do when I honor somebody is I say, whatever you think, you go ahead and do it. And what these people of the island, it was their island. It was their goods they were giving them. They were giving them help, and the Bible says they honored them. In other words, they let Paul and that group decide what was going on. But it was their island. It was their goods and their time, and everything was theirs, but they honored them. They deferred to them. That's where we get the word defer to. They honored them. They said, what do you think? What do you want to do? That's what we'll do. It also means to perform relative duties to manifest the highest veneration. So I looked up veneration. It's the highest degree of respect and reverence. It's a feeling or sentiment excited, listen to this, by the dignity of a person or by the sacredness of his character and with regard to his consecration to sacred services. I don't know if you got all that, but what it means is there's a high respect of reverence you have for somebody, and this is why you have it for them, because of the dignity of that person, because of the sacredness of the character of that person. Pastor just stood up here a few minutes ago and talked about Brother Hank Thompson. You know what? I know what Dad did. Dad tried to honor that man. Why was it? Because of the dignity of that man, because of the sacredness of his character. Because of his consecration to sacred service, you know what we did? We tried to honor him. And that's what Dad tried to teach us children. These men of God, Brother Homer Smith, Brother Jack Wood, Dr. Don Green, Brother Earl Hughes, when they come, you honor them. They are dignity. Their character is sacred. They are consecrated to the things of God. And because of that, you honor them. You defer to them. You don't ever tell them something. You've got nothing they need to know. They've got everything you need to know. You listen to them. You prefer your judgment opinions to them. In fact, you should form some of yours after listening to them. And that's what honor is. And the Bible says they honored them with many honors. In words and in deeds we can honor. It's respect. It's reverence. It's asking their judgment in a matter. It's listening to their ideas. Some people, they might ask your ideas, but they ain't listening to what ideas you got. They're just waiting till you run out of breath and take just a second saying, tell you what they think. what their ideas are. Young people, let me just try to help you. And you may not get this, you may. But I know you've got all kinds of ideas and thoughts. And I know you just graduate, or you're graduating, or you know, whatever. And you think you know a lot. And I'm not trying to be mean, but you know what? You really don't have a whole lot to say just yet. You haven't lived life. There's people that have lived life. They've been through the trials. It's like Job's three friends. You know what Job's three friends should have done? They should have came. They should have sat by Job, and they should have kept their mouth shut. And they should have waited for God or Job or somebody who knew what they were talking about to actually say something. Job's three friends, they filled up a book of the Bible. You know what they said? They didn't say anything. Worth saying. Many times us, well, we got a lot to say. It's just not a whole lot worth saying. I was taught this growing up. You get around older Christians. You pick their brain. You ask them things. You don't argue with them. You don't try to show off how much you know. You just ask them and let them talk to you. And you try to learn something. It's honoring people. You know what they did? They held Paul in high esteem because of his godly character and his consecration serves God. They honored others with many honors. And then the last thing I see is in the end of verse 10. They said they laded us with such things as were necessary. You know what they did? They helped meet the need of others. To lade means to load. So they loaded them with anything that they was necessary for them to have. Think about that, Brother Dan. When you suffer shipwreck, well, number one, they had thrown everything on that ship overboard, except a little bit of food they ate after 14 days of fasting. Then they lightened the entire ship. So all that was on that ship, when it did break in half, was the people. And now their ship broke in half. So what do they have? They have nothing. Do you understand? I mean, I know you and I think we might be poor. These people are poor. They've lost everything and their ship. They've got nothing. And what did those barbarous people do? They gave them everything needed to continue their journey. Whether it was clothes or food or provision or money, whatever it was they needed, the barbarous people provided it for. Where'd the barbarous people get it? They went back to wherever they lived and they began to give what was theirs to other people. They met the needs of others. They loaded them up. It's what it said, they laid it, they loaded them up. What they didn't just give them the bare minimum, they made sure they had plenty. No shortage. They didn't give sparingly. You know how they gave? They gave liberally. God loveth a cheerful giver. I believe God loves a liberal giver as well. Amen. You have a lot of people today, they want to be liberal, and our giving is one area God lets us be liberal in. Amen. They gave according to the need that these people had. Listen, they did not just give them what they had in abundance. You understand that? Many times we give what we've got plenty of. They didn't do that because they specifically gave what they needed. So whether they had a lot of it or just enough to give it, they gave according to a need, not out of abundance. They didn't give out of convenience. Even if it was a sacrifice, they gave what was needed. They made sure that that entire group was not lacking anything. That's an amazing testimony, I believe. You know what they did? They helped bear the burdens that these people had. Familiar verse here, I'll read. And the Bible said in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, are we bearing anyone's burden? Is anybody's burden that they're bearing, is it lighter because of you and I? Have we helped lighten the load even a little bit that somebody has to carry? I know many times we can't take the entire burden, but we can help. We can, you know, put our shoulder under that burden and help them carry it. They gave what was needed, such things as were necessary. And you know what they did? Eventually, they got on another ship and head down the road, and Paul made it to Rome. And a large part was the way these barbarous people treated him on this island. Listen, this afternoon, how do we compare to these barbarous people of this unknown island that Paul landed on? There might be some lessons that we can learn. I mean, the Bible tells us to learn a lesson wherever you can. He says, go the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, be wise. We can learn from the ant. I think we can learn from barbaric people. Who had some good principles, practice some things that I would like to be in my life. I'd like to be hospitable. I'd like to take advantage of the man of God and the people of God that God puts into my life. I'd like to be honor others with great honors. And I'd like to help meet the needs and bear the burdens that other people have. Amen. Let's pray here today.